Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM. And this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmelo Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this afternoon, I'll be speaking to Madalena Grossman, manager of the European Heritage Days programme, an initiative of the Council of Europe, which is happening all across Europe during the month of September. Carmel will have a rundown on some of the stories that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some European stories of Irish interest as well. We'll have some eclectic music from France and Spain, all coming up in the next half an hour. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM and your programme Europe Today. The EU has to provide funding to compensate producers who are suffering as a result of the Russian trade embargo on Western products. The Russians introduced this trade ban as a countermeasure to international sanctions over their actions in Ukraine. Matt Carty says that the EU wants a diplomatic victory and therefore the embargo could continue in the long term. Mr. Carty is calling for additional funding to compensate producers, including those in the Irish agri-food sector, whose business is impacted by the Russian trade ban.
The sense that I get from the European leaders, including the Commission, is that they're in this for the long haul. In other words, they want to make to get a diplomatic victory as a result of this. If they are inclined to go along that route without any consideration for those within Europe that might be impacted, well, then they have to put in place additional funding. This can't, the funding and the compensation can't be taken out of the current cap budget, because that's only robbing Peter to pay Paul, and again, it's farmers who will suffer. Additional funding needs to be put in place, and those who are championing this basically diplomatic war with the Russian Federation need to be able to outline how compensation is going to be found. Russian people are still going to eat. They're going to import food. So where there's a trade ban on European produce, my fear is that many of the customers for Irish produce, for example, are going to find alternative suppliers. And in many cases, those suppliers will, I suppose, concrete themselves in position, so that the actual impact of this ban may go well beyond the actual sanctions period.
The South East Business Innovation Centre is making €4 million available in grants for new internet technologies for the agri-food sector. The money is part of an EU programme worth €80 million to SMEs. Up to €100,000 per successful applicant will be granted to SMEs that innovate new digital applications that will benefit farmers and the agri-food sector. The South East Business Innovation Centre in Waterford is seeking applications for the grants no later than November 15th. Spokesperson Carol Turnston says all applications will be closely considered.
Well, we're looking for SMEs and web entrepreneurs to develop a new generation of products to support smart agriculture. That's in arable farming, horticulture and livestock. We're giving up to 100k in funding over three stages of development, which is prototype, end-user testing and business development.
Scientists at Dublin City University are close to developing the most advanced device in the world for the detection of the HPV virus. HPV is the most common cause of sexually transmitted infection in Ireland and is responsible for up to 70 deaths per year in Ireland. The new detection device is being granted by €2.5 million across several laboratories under the EU Framework 7 programme. Professor Colette McDonough of the Physics Department in DCU says the new device, when fully developed, will assist greatly in tackling cervical cancer.
This money will allow us, with our European partners, to actually build a biochip, and the biochip will be able to detect different types of the HPV virus which are responsible for cervical cancer.
This is Carmelo Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. President-elect Juncker unveiled his team and the new shape of the next European Commission. The European Union has come through one of the most testing periods in its history, and one of the biggest challenges will be to convince citizens that things will change. The new European Commission plans to reform and streamline itself to focus on tackling the big political challenges Europe is facing. Such challenges include getting people back to work, triggering more investment, making sure banks lend, creating a connected digital market, and ensuring Europe stands on its own feet when it comes to energy security. Oysters are being wiped out in Europe. Ireland is one of seven countries involved in a research project which is trying to identify and get rid of threats to oysters in European oyster farms. Many of the farms suffer from very high mortality rates, which can rise to 80 to 90% in the first year. Unlike farm animals, oysters are farmed in a complex open location, with multiple environmental factors that are difficult to control, including ocean water temperature, salinity, acidity, and pollution. Scientists have studied the role played by viruses, bacteria, and parasites. They've learned how the pathogens affect oysters. Several possible solutions are being studied. Do you still use cheques? The Irish are one of the most cheque-intensive users in Europe. That's all set to change. From this Thursday, government departments, local councils and other public sector bodies will stop sending or accepting cheques to and from businesses. This should also encourage small and medium-sized businesses to switch from cheques to e-payments, such as debit cards and electronic banking. It is expected that such changes will create savings for our economy of around 1 billion annually. Typically, between stamp duty and bank charges, each cheque costs businesses over 1 euro. And that's before you pay for the stamp to post it. However, an e-payment, such as a direct debit, costs about 20 cent or less. The country plans to reduce its use of cash and cheque to the European average. Nearly 270,000 students from across Europe took part in the EU's Erasmus exchange programme in 2012 to 2013, the highest number in its 27-year history. Erasmus allows European students to spend up to a year in a foreign country, either studying or working. This helps to broaden their experience and give them opportunity to increase their employability. Students don't have to pay tuition fees at their host university, and they are awarded a grant to help cover the cost of living abroad. Erasmus also allows academics, higher education staff and business people to go abroad for teaching or training for up to 6 weeks. The most popular destinations to study were Spain, Germany and France, while the UK was chosen for work placements. Applications are now being accepted for the 2014 Common Agricultural Policy Communications Award. Tell the European Commission about your best communication project on agriculture, and you could be in with a chance of winning the prestigious award. All communicators taking part will have the opportunity to join the CAP Communication Network, showcase their communication project to an international audience, and develop professional connections across Europe. A high-level award ceremony will be held in Brussels at the end of January next year to reward the best projects. Visit the CAP Communication Awards website to access the form and to find out about the rules, eligibility criteria and practical details on how to apply. The deadline for application is Friday the 31st of October. Finally, are you looking for a job? The first beta release of the new search for a job application is available on the European Job Mobility Portal, otherwise known as EURES. You can create a job seeker account, your CV online to make it available for search by employers across Europe, and receive the latest job vacancies that match your profile and much more. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Suelo, yo acostumbrándome a hacer el papel. de cómo que nos queremos. Claro, más claro que el agua. Yo recogiendo la orilla del mar bajo la alfombra del tiempo, tú descambiando los besos y la letra de nuestra canción. Claro, más claro que el agua. Igual que los gatos no ladran, no vamos a llorar, vamos a olvidar sin lágrimas los sueños que disfrazan la verdad. Camino de la buena suerte, vamos a lanzar las muñecas tristes. Entre tu boca y la mía, el eco de tu zapato me cuenta que empieza la despedida, que está más claro que el agua. No aprendimos la trampa, no vamos a suerte. Vamos a lanzar las muñecas tristes a mar. Tiene esta maleta por cerrar. Guardaremos nuestra suerte. Yo, más claro.
Track called Los Gatos No Ladran by the very popular Spanish artist India Martinez.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Once a year, citizens in 50 countries celebrate Europe's cultural heritage. This initiative of the European Heritage Days, launched by the Council of Europe in 1991, has been since 1999 a joint action of the Council of Europe and the European Commission, putting new cultural assets on view and opening up historical buildings normally closed to the public. The cultural events highlight local skills and traditions, architecture and works of art, but the broader aim is to bring citizens together in harmony, even though there are differences in cultures and language. This week, Europe Today contacted Madalena Grossman, the manager of the European Heritage Days programme, to find out about this wonderful European initiative. Madalena, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Madalena, the first thing I was going to ask you was the whole idea of a European Heritage Week. How did that come about?
Well, it came about because quite a few years ago, in 1984, the then Minister of Culture of France, Jacques Lang, proposed that it what they held in France in 1984 became a European program. And it was picked up by the Council of Europe in 1991. And the first European-wide program celebrating heritage as something for all people and free was born. It went on to become in 1999 a joint program with the European Commission.
Fantastic. It's a, again, it's a, as far as they're concerned, the European Council, this is what I just say, it's called an essential instrument for fostering a tangible experience of European culture and history. Is there similarities, Madalena, that you found between all the different nations of the European Council as regards what their whole idea of heritage and culture is?
I think that there's both incredible diversity, incredible similarities. The similarity is that if you look at a program like this, where up to 20 million visitors come every year to the events which are opened up, you find that all countries, all people that celebrate heritage have the same vision of wanting to be able to take part and participate in understanding, knowing heritage, and so on. And the fascinating part about this program is that it takes place in 50 different countries.
Yep.
Throughout Europe. And it's a joint initiative, which is not only the Council of Europe and the Commission, but it's an incredible alliance between all the national coordinators from each country that link up with thousands, and that's really thousands, of local event organizers to actually put on together, I think, probably the only pan-European program on cultural heritage, which links all of those different levels of heritage engagement. So from that point of view, from the point of view of actually seeing it as something in common, held in common, and something to celebrate in common, it's very, very similar. And when it was opened up, the idea was to actually open it up, open heritage up, which is very often closed. So buildings that very often either are never open to the public or only sometimes open to the public should be opened up for free. And it's been this type of idea people should have access to free heritage, and everyone wants to see behind a closed door. So it was quite a winning recipe for a program. And it's just grown and grown and grown. From that point of view, it's a lot of similarity. But in terms of the actual diversity of events, it's just extraordinary.
Really?
For example, this year, I know that the Irish events have finished for the Heritage Days, but you go on to do a cultural event program which links directly up to them. But for the Heritage Days, it was, we had I was actually there for the opening in Marion Square Park.
You were indeed. We missed you, unfortunately, while you were here.
One of the very, very few sunny days that you had as well. But there was a fantastic opportunity to discover heritage there. You could look back in Ireland at family living from the Vikings to the modern times, or visit Kilkenny Castle and watch a puppet theatre recreate the tale of Goldilocks. It was incredible, the richness and the difference there. But then if you went to Finland, for example, you could go and get rich in Finland by following a trail of gold mining history and learning how to prospect at the same time, Or if you're in Spain, you can discover the origins of the fountains of Parma or take part in a ritual del Par Benit de la Torre de Macanes. And you can actually go and visit what they call a sea of 3 million olive trees in the fabulous territory of Senia. This type of thing, it's an extraordinary diversity and richness of what local people considered to be the most important thing to celebrate and to look after and to educate about. So there's tremendous diversity there.
As regards the, I suppose there'd be a huge variation as well in the financial aspects of it as well. Some of the countries are probably in a position maybe to put a bit more money behind it than others. What has been the most extravagant event that you've been aware of for this year, for 2014 anyway?
Do you know something about
that? I don't mean extravagant.
That the thing that typifies this programme more than anything is the access to culture that it
right,
gives,
okay,
the
yeah.
access to heritage. The richest part of the whole program really are the local events.
Really?
The really rather big sort of extravagant events that you might get in Paris or elsewhere. They're not what typifies the programme. So I'd rather focus, if I can,
of course,
on the aspects of voluntarism.
Right.
Basically, the programme as a whole, in terms of the European programme, costs very, very little, because almost all the people putting on events are doing it through voluntary actions. The events are free, so people go to it.
Indeed,
and of course,
yeah,
you've got tremendous impulse for tourism there, because you know, we all love to go and visit a free heritage. So you've got loads of people moving across Europe during this period and seeing free events and staying in hotels and buying things and learning about different kinds of cultural environments. So it's not so much the big things, and it's not the Louvre, it's not that kind of thing, I think, which is most typical about the programme.
Right, okay, yeah. As regards what has been the... Now, again, I'm trying to pin you to... Put the pin to your collar, Madalena. As regards... I mean, you'd be aware of probably more of what's going on around the whole events over the next couple of weeks than anybody else. Is there something that you've been particularly impressive? Just you personally, is there something that you would like to have... You've enjoyed seeing or you want to see over the next...
Oh, you got it's me over, there.
Yeah, I have to put your pin to your collar,
through
yeah.
through the patios of Cordoba... and visiting the mills of Mallorca, I think that would be, I mean, and the Alhambra, I think that those would be some of the events that I'd really like to go to. But I, having said that, I was in Dublin, and the odd thing is that it was a fantastic opening in Merrion Square Park, where you had, you know, traditional crafts from basket weaving to stone carving and ancient writing, wood turning, jewellery making, and mini digs for kids. And the people that were actually putting on these crafts, they were so beautiful. They really had fantastic stories to tell. And I was there with a group of people, two or three people from different countries.
Right.
And we were...
Yeah, you're just soft-soaping us now, Madalena. You're just saying because we're Irish, we're the best at doing this. Is that what you're saying?
I would say that you have a way of making things incredibly... you have a tremendous generosity, both in the sort of personal way that you invite people into your culture,
okay,
but
right.
also in the way that you share other people. So
right.
In some sense, yeah, I'd say that.
It's going to end roughly around the end of September, Madalena. So, you know, again, I'm actually heading off to Rhodes now next week myself. But if there was somebody wanted to experience something particularly unique and maybe sort of distinctly European, is there anything on the program? Program or anywhere in the out of the how many nations did you mention there earlier
50.
On? 50. Is there
but
something
I'm
there that you would
pick on one? I'm going to give you a website that you
go to. Oh, you're so
because
clever!
It's a new portal. We built it.
Yes.
It went live last year in a kind of sort of partial way, and it had about 400 events on it. This year, it's going to have 27,000 events on
really?
It because
fantastic.
France
okay.
actually is, right. has, I think, 20,000 events on their own. And we're going to have about probably four or five countries having automatic uploads this year. So we're going to benefit from huge number of events. And the site is called European Heritage Days, all in one word,
yep.
.com.
EuropeanHeritageDays.com.
Yeah,
fantastic.
And the beautiful thing about this is that it's built on mapping technology, so you just get a map of Europe and you get all of the countries, and then every time somebody puts an event up, a star goes on it.
Fantastic.
And these stars all sparkle together across the map. They're really nice. So that somebody in the middle of Andalusia who puts on an event suddenly sees themselves. You know, they might be in a tiny village.
Brilliant.
They suddenly see themselves on a European map, and they've really appreciated that. And this, and they've given us a slogan: "Become a star in Europe." It's kind of nice. And it's a way of actually creating from the local initiative, the biggest type of visibility possible, and the most cooperative type of engagement by having all events. Together showing up as stars on
fantastic.
The platform.
Well, congratulations to the European Council for their commitment to this particular programme, and I do want to say a very special thank you to Isabel Smith for putting me in contact with yourself, Madalena.
I would say thank you to Isabel Smith Absolutely. I'd also say thank you to Minister Heather Humphreys, who was so gracious to invite me to Marion Square Park, and to impress upon all of us her commitment to local heritage and the fact that Ireland takes a very, very key role in the whole European programme and is going to support it. And also, of course, to Michael Starrett and Martin Colreevy, who did a lot of gracious welcoming to us when we were there. But Isabel is, of course, the powerhouse of heritage and one of the favourites of our programme, actually.
Madalena, again, well, hopefully Europe Today here, we won't miss you. If you are here for the 2015 programme, we'll be able to catch up with you and get you an Irish coffee or something like that.
Thank you very much.
Madalena Grossman.
Thank you very much for the interview and have a wonderful continuation of your celebrations.
Madalena Grossman from the European Council representation, working on the European Heritage Days. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, John.
C'est une histoire du temps passé, échappé d'un songe, simple mensonge, vérité, pour qui veut
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Madalena Grossman, the manager of the European Heritage Days programme, for joining us this week. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we mentioned as well. Join me again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week, and your programme, Europe Today.